Bickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. That's carolhasthebuyers.com.
Sarah. Oh, Sarah. What do you have for us today on Social Studies, Sarah?
Let down your hair.
It was either that or sing the lyrics to Jefferson Starship's Sarah.
I didn't want to say Sarah Smiles.
Much better song.
Yeah. I get that one, yeah.
You're right.
Welcome to Social Studies, everyone, where we talk about me for the next 10 minutes. Welcome.
Welcome.
Let me just sit back and put my feet up.
Yeah. Songs. Just kidding. @Bickley_Murata on Twitter is where you should please be following us. We get social during Social Studies every day at 9 o'clock on Bickley and Murata mornings. We put some questions up on our Twitter account and hope that you respond with fun, funny, thoughtful, sarcastic, all of the above answers. Let's start with the big news that we learned yesterday, and Cliff Kingsbury kind of is fueling it by giving vague responses. He reportedly is of interest to fill the Oklahoma opening as Lincoln Riley goes to USC. So why do you think that Cliff Kingsbury won't comment on these Oklahoma rumors? He basically just said, we're in the middle of a season, you know, kind of left it at that. Three options.
Okay.
He won't comment because he doesn't want the distraction. He won't comment because he is interested in the Oklahoma job. Or he won't comment because he wants to maintain leverage for some money.
I would vote, my instincts is overwhelmingly C, that he's clinging to this as leverage for a new contract. I don't think it's coming in the short term, so I don't know what the end game of that is at all. It can't be the distraction, because not shutting the door on it creates the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And the B thing, does he have interest in the Oklahoma job? Again, it sounds ludicrous, but what Brian Kelly did is ludicrous. It just everything that's happening in college football is ludicrous, and it's just showing that everybody has a price. Mm-hmm. That if you throw enough money at somebody, and if that somebody wants that money that badly, they'll do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about a high-profile job for that kind of potential money, I don't think 0% interest is actually a thing.
Sure.
It might be a very low number, but there's got to be something. Wouldn't you want to hear at least what's being offered?
You'll listen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Even, yeah. And I think in for those of us peons who are not being offered $15 million a year, at least not yet in our careers.
Yes.
You still listen to whatever opportunity comes your way.
Yes.
Unless it sounds like it absolutely sucks, which I don't think this one would.
Yeah.
All right. Of those three options right now, 67% of our voters believe that Cliff Kingsbury is not commenting just because he wants to hold on to that leverage for a new contract with the Cardinals. 24% say he does not want any distractions. 9% think it's because he's actually interested in that job. Yoko Solo says business is business, but Cliff just seems like a man who finally having a winning season is being validated and would rather have the attention on what he, the staff, and the Cardinals team have accomplished so far this season.
Okay.
Kaminsky Season says, I think it's probable that he wants the leverage and possible that he wants the Oklahoma job. But for now, he just wants to take the next step towards the postseason and a potential Super Bowl. Tulsa Trail Bum, his words, not mine, says, I'm an Okie and a Sooner fan. I moved here to Arizona because in the winters back home, the air would hurt my face.
Yes. Very cold on the plains in December, Sarah.
Yes. There are nice places in Oklahoma, he says, but not like here.
Can you think of a sitting NFL coach? I brought up Bobby Petrino's name earlier. You think of another sitting NFL coach that bolted for a college job?
Not midseason.
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least did that one year, right? All right, moving on to our next question.
And not to interrupt you, but once you do that, once you bail on an NFL team, I don't think you can come back. I think the door shuts on you forever.
Yes.
That's the way NFL owners work.
That bell cannot be unrung.
Yeah.
Bobby Petrino never picked up his NFL career.
Yeah.
Just waiting there for him. What is the better head coaching job with all of the moves being made right now in college football? Of these four, what is the best head coaching job? USC, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, or LSU?
I think the best job is USC.
I do too.
But that's a different question than who is going to have more of an impact, Lincoln
yes.
Riley or Brian Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I think USC is the better job for a lot of reasons, and mainly because they're like the Phoenix Suns in the Valley. When they get really good, it lights up Southern California.
But also sure the presence, and we talked about this earlier in the week. That would be yesterday, the only other show we've done this week.
That's right.
When they're not as good because there is such a preponderance of pro teams, the pressure might be a little bit less, too. When you're not good at LSU, everybody knows about it. When you're not good at Notre Dame, to a lesser degree, everybody knows about it. And that's certainly the case at Oklahoma. So I would rank number one USC as well.
That's very well said. All of the perks that come with success, but not necessarily all of the trash that comes with being bad.
Yeah, right, exactly. You can afford to live on the water, and you they'll get you a helicopter so you get out of traffic, and you're good.
I think Brian Kelly did an unbelievable job of keeping Notre Dame from falling into the Texas, Nebraska, Penn
also
State.
Also Rams used to be great.
Yeah. Like, he sort of rescued them from falling into that chasm.
No, I think the university management did more of that by refusing to join a conference.
We'll see, though. That might be hurting them this year.
Maybe. But overall, it's easier to stay relevant when you can play. You can pick and choose your schedule every single year.
They weren't very relevant with Charlie Weiss, though.
Ooh,
yep.
True.
They were for a couple years, but not consistently. You're right.
Old front butt himself.
What do you call him?
What's that?
What do you call him?
Front butt.
Front butt?
Because, he had like the...
Come on.
I've never heard that before.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, it's a thing. It's when your front looks like a butt.
There you go.
Very descriptive term. Okay. Good. 45% of our voters think that USC is the best head coaching job available, or of these four options, rather. 24% say LSU. Note that the two more popular ones are warm weather places. 21% went with Notre Dame. 11% went with Oklahoma. Brian Barger says, the one that gives you a private jet, duh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at you, USC. Moving on to our next question. Oh. Seriously, how incredible. To the NBA, we were talking about this earlier when previewing tonight's massive game between the Suns and the Warriors in downtown Phoenix. With them both being West teams, who do you consider the team's biggest rival right now, and why?
The Suns' biggest rival right now? It's hard for me to move past the Lakers. Just because of the hatred that the Suns fan base has for every iteration of the Lakers, that is something that's never really waned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there. Hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be talking more about Suns-Warriors for supremacy of the West. But for me, it's the frauds in Forum Blue and Gold, as they call it.
At
it's not purple.
Crypto.com?
It's Forum Blue. Yeah.
Crypto.com arena.
Yeah, do they get the naming rights of the shade now, too? Or... just the arena.
Dan, is that your answer, too?
Yeah, that's my answer. Yeah. Definitely the Lakers.
Chuck Harris
agrees. Until further notice, Sarah.
Yes. Chuck Harris agrees, says it's still the Lakers. The hate for all L.A.-based teams will stand in perpetuity, except for the Chargers, because no one cares about them. James says the Fakers are their rival, regardless of records, but Golden State will stand between the Suns and a championship this year, no doubt. Chad Hoagland says the Clippers because of their heated Western Conference Finals. And then Andy Page says whatever team Pat Bev is on.
Sure. That's a good one. So it's the Timberwolves now?
Yeah.
Until he gets traded again at the deadline?
Sure. And finally, quickly, who is your favorite Warrior of these four options? Steph Curry, the Ultimate Warrior, the former WWF personality, Xena Warrior Princess, or the Warriors, the 1979 movie?
Ooh. I'd have to go with Steph Curry.
This is Xena Erasure.
Mm. Hmm.
I never got into Xena. There is a we have a coworker who was obsessed with Xena Warrior Princess.
What?
Maybe that'll be the Vinny Joe trivia question of the day.
Okay. I'm ready. Okay.
Yeah, it's Steph Curry. That's the answer.
Yeah.
I appreciate the creative effort there, Jarrett. You didn't give me a good option to get off Steph Curry.
30% of our voters agree. There you go.
Wilt Chamberlain was a Warrior.
Oh. Chris Mullin.
Al Addles.
Mitch Richmond.
Clifford Ray.
Cliff Ray.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Social
Rick
Studies.
Barry.
Every day at 9 o'clock. And you can follow along on Twitter at Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, our weekly visit. The Chief Hockey Development Officer of the Arizona Coyotes, the one and only Shane Doan. Straight ahead, it's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Doan scores on the rebound!
Shane Doan.
Shane Doan got a piece of it. I think this goal is going to go to the captain.
Captain Coyote.
Shane Doan sends a one-hopper on net. He scores! The captain!
Coyotes legend Shane Doan, up early to talk Coyotes hockey with Bickley and Murata.
A shot by Shane Doan, he scores!
Brought to you by Bell Ford, where it's all about the experience. One small step off I-17 in Bell, one giant Ford store.
Yep, Tuesday mornings we talk hockey and whatever else pops up with the Chief Hockey Development Officer of the Arizona Coyotes, Shane Doan, who joins us right now here on Bickley and Murata Morning. Shane, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. My first question is, when a goalie has a 46-save shutout, first one of his career, does the Chief Hockey Development Officer of the Arizona Coyotes then learn how to pronounce his last name?
You mean Veggie?
Yeah.
Veggie. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we'll stick
with
it.
Need. It's all you need. Veggie or Wedgie. We've established
unbelievable
that.
Last night.
Oh my goodness! That was fun to watch, and that last 4 minutes here, we took the double minor. I'm like, holy man, we're going to make him earn this thing. If he's going to get this, he's going to earn it the hard way, because Winnipeg has a good power play. That was impressive. That was one of those times that you tip your hat and say thank you.
And then even the last penalty was 7.5 seconds to go. It seemed like an eternity. They put 3 seconds back on the clock, and you're thinking they're never getting out of here alive, but they did.
Yeah. We were going to make him earn it. I mean, hey, if you want your first one, you ought to make it worthwhile. It's not like you want a cheap one. You want one where you make 46 saves and then your team gets 17 shots. So it was an impressive game.
Yeah, there can be some soft shutouts where as a goalie you might face, I don't know, 23 shots or whatever. This was not one of them. What's it like? I know you've never played goal, but you've or maybe you have and I don't know it, but you've been teammates with them before. When goaltenders get into zones, it's stunning how good they can be.
It really is, and it starts to look easy. Like, well, yeah, of course you're going to make that save. Like, reach across and catch that 90-mile-an-hour one-timer with your hand. Like, that's easy.
Yeah, right.
And then they just get so comfortable. And then it's kind of like a pitcher where you just don't talk to them, don't look at them, don't make eye contact, just let them be. I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. You're in the right set of your mindset. Just leave them alone. And some of them are really like that, and others will come in there and start talking to you, and you get scared that you're going to mess something up, and you don't want to say anything. You don't want to comment on how great it is, how good it is. Just try to avoid anything about the game when you're talking to them. When it's going on,
but goaltenders are also very weird. How are these guys weird, Doner? Give us some insight.
Well, the very first thing is I do pretty much everything I can to avoid getting hit by the puck. Like everything in my game is like, you know what? I'll block a shot if I absolutely have to, but it's like the last possible idea, and it's their first. Their first idea is to get hit by a puck, and it's such a different mindset than everyone else. And then they can't make mistakes, which is what I think makes them so unique. Because if you make a mistake as a winger, I probably make 7 or 8 mistakes in a game. As a centerman, you might be able to make 5 mistakes. As a D-man, you might only be able to make 2 or 3 mistakes. And as a goalie, you can't make a mistake. You make a mistake and everyone in the building notices it and thinks you're terrible and you don't get to play the next game. And so that whole mindset just, I think it messes with them. They have to have short memories and they have to be just a different breed. It's a different breed.
Yeah, this is really going to date me, but once upon a time back in Chicago, I was in Indianapolis interviewing Dominik Hasek, who was a minor league goalie, and he was ticked off at the Blackhawks because he was never getting a chance, and Mike Keenan loved that fire of Eddie Belfour, that crazy approach. My question is, what's better for a goalie to have, that really emotive, demonstrative guy, or the guy that's like a robot that you just can't shake?
Oh man, It's the mindset of being able to forget what you just did. And if you want to be demonstrative and really exaggerate, then you have to be really, really good. Like, you have to be really good. And I think that's, that, you know, Dominic Hasek, I'd argue, is the greatest or in the top three greatest of all times. I think it's a pretty easy argument to say he probably is the best. And he was at the monster of kind of, you know, show up and make these unbelievable saves and just completely unorthodox. And so it kind of made it that no one really knew what he was doing next. And I think that's what made him good.
Yeah.
And so that's, there's a flair to that. But you look at like Patrick Waugh and the way, but he was demonstrative too, but he was very robotic in the net. Like he knew exactly where he was going to be and he was going to just be square and face the shooter every time. And so that, I think they're both amazing and they both have their benefits.
Shane Doan is our weekly guest on Tuesday mornings here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. I want to go back to something you said too about the mentality of blocking shots, and you went right to the goalie, and yeah, that's their job. They got more protection than anybody. One thing I could never reconcile, Doaner, is the skaters that made their living getting in front of shots and sacrificing their... Those guys are among the most nuts in all of sports. Would you agree?
100%. Like, we pay our goalie millions of dollars to get hit by a puck. So why am I going to then go get hit by a puck? You don't pay me to get hit by the puck.
Exactly.
You score goals. So it's his job. That being said, every coach is going to yell at you if you get out of the way. And that's just what the team does. The teammates do. They try to block shots for the goalies and try to make it, you know, a little bit easier.
Here's proof. Who scored more goals than anybody in NHL history, Doaner?
Wayne Gretzky.
Who blocked the most shots in the history of the NHL?
You probably know this. Not Wayne Gretzky.
I don't even know who blocked the most shots last year. Like, that's,
see?
I don't even think they kept that stat until like 10 years ago. And now they're trying to get rid of it because it's like too many guys. It's too hard to get your shot through because everyone does it now.
Yeah.
So
I think the person who blocked the most shots in NHL history was ever in front of Shane's shots that were didn't make it in the goal.
Dynamite drop in, Jared.
Yeah, well done, Jared. Go back to sleep, Jared.
Real quick before we let you go, Doaner. I mean, another win last night. We talked about that, but 5-5-1 in their last 11 games. They're starting to figure things out a little bit, aren't they?
They are, and you look at I think it's a huge testament to Bear and the coaching staff and the way that they've been willing to stick with it and the way that the players have kind of bought in, because that start wasn't exactly what they had in mind.
No.
And you have a new coach and you have a bunch of veteran guys, and they were willing to stick with it because it would have been easy to kind of fold up tent and be like, you know what, we're going home. And none of them have done it. And that's a huge compliment to the coach that is able to kind of stick with that and keep dragging them in and dragging them into the fight and making sure that they're in there every night. And then our goaltending has been really good the last few games.
It has.
So we got to tip our hat to that too.
Yeah.
So,
Doaner, always a pleasure, man. We will enjoy the week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Hopefully you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Likewise, Doaner.
So thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Shane Doan, Chief Hockey Development Officer of the Arizona Coyotes. He joined us Tuesdays here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Also on Tuesdays, we play a little game we like to call Mustache.
Not a mustache.
And that's next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, welcome back to Bickley and Murata Mornings here on 98.7 FM. Final half hour of today's show. Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin. Let's go to arizonasports.com for today's poll question, fellas, about the huge game tonight between the Suns and the Warriors at Footprint Center. Guys, the question is, what will be the key for the Suns to extend their 16-game win streak against the Warriors? Four options for you to vote on. The key will be containing Steph Curry. It will be taking advantage of the Warriors' lack of size. It will be big games from Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Or the key will be contributions from the Suns' role players.
I hate to cheat and say all of those things and pick option five, I think it's going to be all five of them. I mean, you can't have just one of those things and beat the Warriors, I think.
No, I agree with you.
So, I mean, that's where I would lean. I know it's not a choice, and I cheated, but...
It's okay. What do you
think? Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll let him vote.
I feel shame.
All right, I'll just click contain Steph Curry, since all of the above is not an option for us to vote on. Okay. Oh, yeah, and you are validated because all four of these options are very evenly split as far as what the key is for tonight. 29% say big contributions from role players. 26% say you got to take advantage of the Warriors' lack of size. 25% say contain Steph Curry. And 20% say they need big games from Chris Paul and Devin Booker. So there you go. Yes, all of the above.
Yeah, stopping Steph Curry has been kind of hard this year. But there you go. That's today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can vote on it right now on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
Mustache. Not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
That's your mom and she's got a mustache.
It is that time of week a little later, one of the latest times you've ever played Mustache Not a Mustache. But it's worth the wait because today is a special Chicago Bears. Chicago and Bears themed edition of America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation. Mustache.
Not a mustache.
I tried to do it in a Chicago accent.
Not a mustache. And what's going to happen is I'm going to play you a sound clip from a movie, a TV show, an interview, or a song, and you'll have to tell me whether the person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache. And then you can get another point if you correctly identify the person. Like I said, all clues will have something to do with Chicago or Bears.
Okay.
Bears.
And last week, Dan Bickley
won.
We
know this for, if I do remember this, unequivocally, you won in a tiebreaker.
He did?
He did.
Knew Planes, Trains, and Automobiles gross box office.
Yes.
I have a better tiebreaker if we get there this week. Actually prepared.
Meaning
for
you have won.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll start off with a musical clue and we'll start.
Who's going first?
Dan.
Yeah, I'm going first.
Okay, Dan will go first.
Give me the ball.
We'll start fairly easy here.
Peter Cetera, rock group Chicago. If you can call him rock. Not a mustache.
Well, yes, that is correct. That is correct. What would you call it, that kind of music?
Pop music.
Yeah.
Was that Peter Cetera, though?
Just the band is fine, Chicago. Yeah, okay. You got it.
I don't know who the singer was before.
I think that is Peter Cetera.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know.
That's fine. All I was looking for was the band. I had it written down, just the band. Same with you, Vinny. This one, just the band is fine.
Okay.
I wish people could see Garland right now.
Earth, Wind, and Fire mustache?
That is correct. That is correct. And if you all could have seen how Sarah, Dan, and Vince got up and started dancing.
Not Dan. Sarah and Jared did, though.
All three of them.
It was a seated dance.
That song, I can't help but think of the country club dinner scene.
Well, clearly there could Jared. He was doing the Rodney dance.
Hey, you guys.
Oh, I tell you.
Some more lessons.
That's how he always dances.
It must have looked great before electricity.
All right, 2-2.
Tell the cook this is low-grade dog food.
Dog food?
Continue, Jared.
All right. Next clue for you.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark. And we're wearing sunglasses.
That would be the Blues Brothers. That would be Dan Aykroyd. That would be Not a Mustache.
That would be correct. That would be correct. And 2 points for
and
that.
And would be correct. All three.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Vince.
Yeah.
Question. What kind of bear is best?
That's a ridiculous question.
False. Black bear. Fact. Bears eat beets.
Nope.
Bears. Beets. Battlestar Galactica.
That is John
Krasinski.
That's right.
As Jim Halpert on The Office, not a mustache.
That is correct. That is correct. You're cruising. Perfect score so far.
4-4.
All right. Dan?
And I like to dance. Running the ball is like Mickey Moe Mance. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl shop.
That would be the greatest of all time, Walter Payton mustache.
Very good, very good.
Good mustache, too.
I've obviously cut off the beginning part where he says, they call me Sweetness. So I was hoping that you would recognize that
and
part
I like
of the song.
To dance. Running the ball is like making romance.
Very good.
You got it. All right. Vince?
I'm Bob Swirsky, and I want to thank everyone for sending those cards to my brother Bill, who recently had another heart attack. We are coming to you live from Ditka's here on Thanksgiving Day, a day for giving thanks for or taking punishment from a team that is known as the Bears.
That is
the Bears.
One of the greatest skits of all time.
Great George Went and a fake mustache.
That counts.
Oh, well done. Yes. Well
absolutely,
done.
Absolutely. All right.
6-6.
6-6. Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I want that son of a dead. I want him dead. I want him dead. I don't care.
Did with this
what
show?
Am I alone in this world? Did I ask you what you're trying to do? Please. I want you to find this boy, Elliot Ness. I want him dead. I want his family dead. I want his house burnt to the ground.
That is Robert De Niro as Al Capone, not a mustache.
That is correct. Ooh. That is correct. From The Untouchables.
Great movie. I don't love that movie.
I don't remember the last time anybody missed a question in this game. You were perfect last week. You're perfect today.
Yeah, this is.
You're perfect too.
You guys
Benny.
Are hot. All right.
In my eyes.
Golly gee, I'm hot today. Mr. Haverkamp.
That's
Mr. Haverkamp.
Peach, hon.
It's all over right. This way, Mr. Haverkamp.
All right, Vinny.
I just practice a lot about the angle of the ball and trajectory of it. You got a Larry Bird, it's going to spin. You got a Magic, it may spin. When Michael Schur over here, I position myself right there. Now I hit the rim, it's boom, click and go back this way. Boom, here, click and go that way. Boom, that way. Click here and go back this way.
This is not easy.
Whoa.
The subject is easy. It's Dennis Rodman.
That is correct. It is Dennis Rodman.
Mustache.
Somebody gave himself the eye by saying that he can't remember the last time. Can you remember it now, Vinny? Because he did not have a mustache. This is from the Last Dance documentary that took the world by storm during the pandemic last year.
Yeah.
And he does not have a mustache. I can understand your confusion as he has had a mustache throughout his career. All right.
All right, for the win.
8-7 for the win.
Oh, no.
And you say Shy City, Shy City, Shy City.
I'm coming home again.
But if you really cared for, then you wouldn't have never hit the airport to follow your dreams. Sometimes I still talk to her.
I have no idea. Would it be that vile creature R. Kelly mustache?
You got mustache correct.
Okay.
But it's a different vile creature. It's Kanye West.
Oh, okay, him.
I even marked down the win. I thought you had that one.
I don't know that. I'm not familiar with Kanye West music.
All right, well.
All right, 9-7.
This is for the tie and for to go to a tiebreaker.
Okay.
This is my kind of town, Chicago.
Frank Sinatra, not a mustache.
That is correct. That is correct. All right, the tie-breaking question to see who will win. How many career receptions in the NFL did Mike Ditka have?
Ooh. All right, I'll send
Vince
this,
will
I'll
send me his
the messenger.
How many career receptions as a player did the great Mike Ditka have?
I can't believe you didn't use a Ditka clue. The all-time great mustache.
Yes, I know. I was saving it. Okay. Vince has entered his
563.
Great. You're going to make me do math here. 563. Vince guessed 300. The actual answer is 427.
So I'm off by 127.
Vinny wins.
And Bick's off by not... Oh, hold on. I got to do some...
135, I think. Or one...
No.
63 minus 27? That's 36. So I'm 136 off.
A wow. Difference of 9.
Oh.
Wow.
Goodness.
I'm going to have to review the film and math. See that if Mike Ditka had dropped any passes that could
I've
have been considered.
I've always said math on the radio is awesome.
Adding up stuff live on air.
Live mental math.
But
yeah, we love it.
That is sometimes what happens when you're playing mustache.
Not a mustache.
Not a mustache. Not a
mustache. Final thoughts coming up on this Tuesday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Now we both have said mustache, a mustache, a
mustache. If you only got a mustache. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata. Song of the day. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Garlic Butter Bacon Burger for a limited time. Only at Sonic.
All right, today's song of the day leading up to the Bears, Cardinals, Dar Bears. Sweet Home Chicago from the Blues Brothers. And Vinny, here's a fast fact for you, by the way. I don't know if what reporting of figures is right, but LSU, according to this one dude, has reportedly offered Brian Kelly $15 million a year to coach its football team, the equivalent of 125 professor salaries at $120,000 a year.
Is that all?
That's all.
Well, I think, you know, it's important to have somebody that well paid in charge of the student athletes.
Oh, yeah.
It's important to give the illusion that they have professors in the SEC.
Oh!
Meanwhile, yeah, that's funny. Meanwhile, Nick Saban is somewhere applauding all of this because he's got a clause in his contract that says he will be paid at minimum the average of the top three SEC coaches or the top five NCAA coaches. So the more this goes up, it's bringing Nick's salary right along with him.
Oh, man. He is loving this.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Good
he's
going
to be able to afford milk
a lot
for
of Little
his
Debbie's.
Little Debbie's oatmeal cream pies.
He's able to afford probably to buy Little Debbie's, not the company.
Oh, that's true. Little Nick's.
Meanwhile, Brian Kelly met with Notre Dame for 11 minutes this morning. Well done, Brian. Well done.
Hey, good luck to you guys.
11 minutes.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Good
effort.
I got some crawfish boiling. By the way, apropos of nothing, Blues Brothers, first rated R movie I ever saw in my life.
Why was that rated R?
I think the language and...
Yeah, language got a little salty.
Yeah. Adult themes. I don't think I've seen it since that. I was 9 years old, and I was spending the night at my friend's house. We watched two rated R movies, and I thought
Whoa.
It was the greatest thing
What was
thing
the other
ever.
One?
It was a terrible Mad Magazine movie called Up the Academy. You remember that movie?
I don't.
Was it trying to be like a National Lampoon kind of a movie?
A movie so bad, the star of the movie had his name taken out of the credits.
Jeez.
Yeah. There you go. There's today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
I think a daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia that you'll knock out of the park today. We mentioned Karel Vemelka of the Arizona Coyotes, 46 saves and earning his first ever NHL shutout. He tied the NHL record for most saves in a first career shutout. It was the second most saves in any shutout for any Coyotes goalie ever. The record of 54 saves held by this man set on April 3rd, 2012 in a 2-0 win over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Brian Boucher?
No.
Sean Burke?
No.
Mike, what's his name?
Yes.
Yeah, what's his name?
Mike White? What's his last name?
Smith.
Smith. I knew it was a generic last name.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty good back at the height of things. 54 saves in a game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Big game tonight, downtown Phoenix. Obviously, Suns, Warriors, two top teams record-wise in the league. Landry Shamet, he joined us yesterday. He talked about what has changed from a the Suns 1-3 start into riding a 16-game winning streak into tonight.
I mean, there are a number of things. I think, you know, just looking at our conditioning, I think we're able to play at a higher pace throughout the game, the pace that we, you know, like to be able to maintain. Just the details, the attention to the small details from a player's perspective, you know, honing in on some of the things that, you know, you need to, good teams have to hone in on and be able to do on a night-to-night basis. And just, you know, kind of settling in, getting used to everybody, everything back into a regular season that kind of, you know, came on a quick turnaround, you know, for a majority of the guys on this group, having played deep into the finals, you know, having a quick turnaround. So, I mean, there's a number of things you can point to, but ultimately it just comes down to connectivity, you know, us knowing what our task is night in and night out, and knowing how we have to play every night in order to be the best group we have.
Yeah, lots in terms of connectivity, and it's been obvious watching the Suns play. The opponent, they are connected as well. Going back to the subject of the poll question that Sarah asked, too, about containing Steph Curry, two losses this year. Steph Curry in one of them, a three-point loss to Memphis on October 28th. He had 36 points, hit 7 three-pointers. The other game that they lost was against Charlotte. On the road, they lost by 4. Not as good a game for Steph Curry. 7 of 22, 3 of 13 from three-point range, 24 points. He scored 20 or more points in all but 3 games this year.
Wow.
The guy is just playing at a remarkable level right now.
Yeah, he really, he's been phenomenal. He is on pace. It's very, very early, but he's on pace to shatter his own three-point shooting record.
The record is
crazy.
He's the only guy ever to hit 400 in a season. As you mentioned, he's on pace to shatter that. And that was, remember the first time he did it?
Mm-hmm.
You were like, nobody's going to reach those levels of three-point accuracy and three-point prowess. And
yeah.
He might do it twice. If he stays healthy, he's going to do it again.
Yeah, 105 through 19 games. Crazy.
Unbelievable. He's already had how many? The Suns' record for a game is 9. Steph Curry's had 4 of those games this year.
Wow.
But I got a good feeling about tonight.
I like the way the Suns are playing.
I like their mindset. I like their vibe.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's going to bring out the best in both teams. And, yeah, I think we're going to have a super competitive game.
Yeah, and we will break it all down tomorrow for you right here starting at 6 a.m. We get first dibs on a game like that. Got to love it. Thanks to Jim Barnett, Warriors radio analyst, Mike Golick, Bobby Hurley, Shane Doan for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out. We always appreciate it. Like I said, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. Wolf and Luke up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Have a great day, everybody.